Amen. Good thoughts. Appreciate what Brother Kenneth has brought before us, and but what I have on my heart is along the same lines, but I'm not going to start in the same place. We just passed what men call the Easter season. There's a lot to be said about that, but we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord every day. Every day. But what's in my heart this morning? Because the tomb is empty, the promises of God are full. You know, if you think about read in the Gospels and you read the promises that Jesus made, and we can rejoice in that. But there came a time when he died. And even those who spent the most time with him while he was here in his ministry, their hope died with him. And all those promises that Jesus made, evidently, because their hope died with him, evidently, they lost any confidence they had in the promises Jesus made. Now, if you had asked them, they might not have said so, but their actions showed that they had lost their hope. But when he arose, and when they understood that he really and truly was alive, that made all the difference in the world, didn't it? Now, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And now we have reason to believe it. Because he died and he rose again. Because the tomb is empty, the promises are full. The Lord bless us for a little while. I want to think about that. All right, let's go back to that Sermon on the Mount where Brother Kenneth was. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Theirs. Not everybody's. Theirs. Can you see the kingdom? There was a lot of people waiting for Jesus to set on a throne here on this earth and set up a kingdom and reign from here. I don't see that kingdom. I don't see that ever happening. When 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks about Jesus coming back, it says he'll raise the dead. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where are you going to find 1,000 years to reign here on the earth? Ain't happening. All right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, feel like it's yours? If you've been blessed to see the kingdom, it's because you've been born again, right? And if God has blessed you to be born again of his spirit, you're his. And you'll always be his. For the rest of this life and in all eternity, you are his. He did it because he loved you. He did it because he loves you still. And he always will love you. Now, I have heard Primitive Baptist ministers go to great lengths to try to distinguish between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I don't find that the scripture splits that hair. And what I just quoted to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, we can use that to my satisfaction, hopefully to yours, but to my satisfaction, that settles the issue. Because Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. But if you go to Luke's account of this, in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, you'll find that this is the same passage that was being quoted by Matthew here, and he's speaking of it over there. The wording is a little different, but you can tell from the surrounding verses that he's speaking from this Sermon on the Mount. And Luke uses, by inspiration of the Spirit, the kingdom of God. So would Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, speak of the kingdom of heaven in one place and the kingdom of God in another, and it be two different kingdoms? No, brethren. It's one. The kingdom. You don't have to ask which one. There's just one. It's the kingdom of God. Matthew's the only one that uses the expression kingdom of heaven. But you find parallels there between what he said and what the others have said. And you find that it's the kingdom of God. And it's ours. For the ones that are poor in spirit. You know, so many of the promises, as far as what we're talking about in this life. And that's what I want to, first of all, I want to deal with the promises of God in this life. There's also promises that he's made for us in death. And if we have time, we'll get to that. All right? In this life, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you feel like you're a sinner, if you feel like that you're bankrupt and have nothing to pay for the debt that you owe to God, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about if your bank account's overdrawn. We're talking about poor in spirit. That if you don't feel like you have anything that's worthy that God should take consideration of, that you don't have anything to pay the sin debt that you owed, that's the ones to whom the gospel is good news. Somebody that's full of this world, somebody whose mind is set upon the things of this world, you know that the things of this world choke out the effect of God's word. So the more you've got in you, the more attention that you give toward the things of this world, the more it chokes out your appetite for the things of God and the things of the kingdom of God. But if we're poor in spirit, if we understand that we have nothing that we can pay toward our sins, and that even if we gave our own body, and like the songwriter said, if we give our body to be burned, it couldn't pay for our sins. Not one sin, much less the multitude of sins that we have committed and we will commit until he comes again. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, not can be, might be, it is. That's who the kingdom belongs to. Those are the ones who are the children of the kingdom. Now, like Brother Kenneth said, we get distracted, and if we're not pressing into the kingdom, then we're not enjoying it. But it doesn't change the fact that we're an heir of grace. It just changes our fellowship for a little while. Oh, may God help us to understand and rejoice in the fact that the kingdom is ours to rejoice in. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter begins his second epistle by saying, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Have you obtained that faith? Have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you know him? You didn't go looking for him. He found you. But if you know him, you're his. The kingdom is yours. What blessings we have available to us in this life. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us, already done it, or we wouldn't have this knowledge, right? Who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. If Jesus was still in the tomb, we'd have reason to doubt whether his word was true, because there was so much that he said that was that applied to beyond the tomb. If he was still in there. You know, years ago, many of our ministers got together and took a trip to the Bible lands. Brother J.C. was one of them that went over there. And he was sharing this story that when they got to the place where they think was the tomb where Jesus laid, there's a little controversy there, and it might be here, it might be another place, whatever. But Brother J.C. really appreciated the tour guide and what he said about it. He said, "We think this is the place where they laid Jesus." But so whether it is or not, truth remains, he's not here. He's risen. I love that, don't you? It doesn't matter where he was, he's not there anymore. He's risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Bless your heart, he appeared to his disciples, and he appeared with them on several occasions over a space of 40 days, and then he ascended back into heaven. And he's seated there at the right hand of the Father, there to make intercession for us, to watch over all the ones he died for, to take care of us and provide for us and bless us in our obedience. You know, there are blessings in obedience, right? Isaiah 1 and 19, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you rebel, not so good, is it? All right? You should be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So that promise was to Israel of old, but spiritually we can take that promise today just as well as they had it back then. If we be willing and obedient today, we shall eat the good of the land. You'll be blessed in your obedience to God. All of the Old Testament, especially the first five books, Deuteronomy especially speaks over and over and over. If you take heed to his word, then how you would be blessed. So the kingdom is ours. He loved us, gave himself for us, that we might be with him. So in this 2 Peter, after what I read to you, then there's a number of verses there. There's seven things that he tells us that we're to add to our faith. Faith is something he's already given us. Now let's add to it to enjoy life. And what does he say about it? I'm not going to get into those seven things. You know them as well as I do. But he comes down to if these things be in you and abound, he talks about verse 8. Then ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, but if he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now you cannot improve on what Jesus has done for us. So that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is our witness and our confidence in him to make your calling and election sure to yourself and to those around you. There are people that you know that you can tell just by the way they live their life and the choices that they make, they love the Lord. Their calling and election is sure, because they have manifested an abundance of evidence to show that. And so that's what Peter's talking about. Add these things to your faith and live these things in such a way that it makes your calling and election sure. You're not living in doubt every day of your life, wondering if you're a child of God or not. Oh, there's times that things happen and it creeps into our thoughts, but we don't live there. Bless your hearts, we have an abundance of evidence in our life that God has had mercy upon us, that he has shown us his love, that he's given us faith, And we can follow him in paths of righteousness. We could try to do our very best. We fall, we stumble, we falter along the way, but there's forgiveness, isn't there? In Jesus. Because he suffered and died to pay for all of our sins. So he says, Peter keeps going, he says, for so an abundant entrance shall be ministered unto you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we're adding these things as we live our life, when we're seeking to please him and seeking to do that which is pleasing in his sight, an abundant entrance. We're talking about, you talk about pressing into the kingdom. Well, Peter's telling us here, and I've preached this before, as the keys to the kingdom. A key unlocks an entrance. A key locks it back, right? Keys to the kingdom. Adding these things in our life. And there's a very good parallel between these seven things here and the things over in 1 Corinthians 13 where he talks about the way love and charity is. Oh, there's so much here that if we're adding these things, then an entrance shall be ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for today, while we live, these things are not going to serve us. I mean, we won't need these things in heaven. When the kingdom shall have been delivered up to God. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, when he talks about then come at the end, when the kingdom shall be delivered up to God. So there's the present reality of the kingdom, that being born again, we're able to see the kingdom and enjoy the kingdom and press into the kingdom and enjoy fellowship with those of the kingdom. And then there's the everlasting kingdom, where we'll be taken home to be with him forever. But he's given us the pleasure of enjoying it now. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's what we need now to enjoy those blessings. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. How sad it is when we see children of God walking in darkness, following after the things of this world. But he said, he that followeth me, he's the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is that light of life? Well, if he's given us spiritual faculties, then we're able to see the kingdom of God. We have the understanding, we have the ability to grasp his word. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have more light. And it's the kind of light that you only get by having spiritual life. And so the more we follow after that, the more we walk and follow after Jesus, the less we're walking in darkness, and we'll have more of what we'll have in the light of life. Let's see, what did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 3? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, turn away from it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Oh, may God help us to walk and follow Jesus and have that light of life. We need lots of light, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I need light on what I need to do each day, decisions I need to make, and what I need to do for my family, what I need to do in service to the Lord, and ministering to the saints of God. We need light in every aspect of what we do each day. And that's the source. He's the light. If we follow him, we'll not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. And there's so much. And it's right here, this word. Now, he gives us life, but he's also given us his word. The entrance of thy words giveth light. I can't remember the address for that, but it's in Psalm 119, I believe. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Okay? Giveth understanding to the simple, something like that. So when we think about for this life, those promises, those exceeding great and precious promises that Jesus has made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hold on to them.
Yeah.
They're full.
Yeah.
They're full of blessing. They're full of benefits. They're full of meaning. They're full of reasons why we want to follow after Jesus in this life. Because the tomb is empty. The promises are full. Matthew 11. Look at some of these promises. Matthew 11, verse 28. I better turn to it. I might not get it all. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Who's going to do that? Who's laboring and heavy laden? Well, it's not just those that work hard in this world. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about their heart is heavy and heavy laden with the guilt of sin, with the realization that we've come short, with the fact that as good as best as we try at times, it's just not pure and holy. But he says, if you feel that way, you come to me. Because he is pure. He is holy. And everything he ever did was in perfection. And he did it for us. He did it for us. To save us from our sins. To give us a home in heaven. So that someday we can dwell with him and we won't have any of those regrets. We won't have any of those burdens that we carried in this life. We won't have any of those sorrows because of shortcomings, because of what he has done and what he will do in us when he changes us and fashions us like unto his glorious body and takes us home to be with him. All of that stuff that caused us to labor and be heavy laden here in this life will be left behind. Somebody needs to write a book about that kind of left behind. All right? It'll be left here because Jesus changed all that when he came out of the tomb. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And what did he say? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, wait a minute. That requires some action here. That requires some obedience here. Don't check out on me. You know, God's people oftentimes, you know, Elder Sonny Powell put me onto this a long time ago. He said, you can just watch. He says, you can be preaching about the goodness and mercy of God and all that God's ever done for us and all that he's done and all that he is doing and all that he will do. And God's people will be sitting there with their heads up just smiling. But as soon as you start talking about duty, they just kind of droop down like sunflowers that don't have the sun. I put it to the test one time. It changes things. You start talking about duty, and it kind of weighs us down, doesn't it? And sometimes folks are just not interested in that. They want to hear about what God's done. They don't want to hear about what he's had for us to do. Now, what he did is eternally. And nothing can take that from us. But he's left plenty for us to do here. He's left plenty for us to follow him in a certain way And he, when we do that, he's pleased to give us an entrance into his kingdom, the entrance of joy and peace and rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find. Oh, wait a minute. That's a different kind of rest. There's a rest he gives when we come to him. And oh, what a rest that is. But there's more rest that can be found. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Not for your body, for your soul. And when your soul is resting, and when your soul is well fed on the word of God, the body can handle it a whole lot better. So as we think about then, there's a promise here. Come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you'll find more rest for your soul in the kingdom. The one kingdom? The kingdom. In it. This not be found outside the kingdom. This is in the kingdom. How about another promise? John 14. John 14. Probably hear it a lot at funerals. It's not just a funeral sermon. Let not your heart be troubled. Has your heart ever been troubled? Think you'll ever be troubled again? You think we got help for heart trouble? That kind of heart trouble? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another to believe God. We can believe in God. But if you're not trusting, if you're not following, then it's hard to see that you're believing God. He's the one that made these promises. Oh, his son may have spoken it, but it's his will. It's his perfect will. If Jesus said it, it's perfectly expressed as God's will. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many dwelling places. I'm not expecting some ivory palace when I get to heaven. I don't know what it'll be. You know, somebody talked, the postmaster in one of the towns we used to live in, he talked about, if I could just get one toe over the line into heaven, I'll be fine. As if he did just enough to get across. We can't do enough to get across. That's why we rejoice in Jesus. His finished work. His promise. Because I live, he said, ye shall live also. I hang on to that. And if I go and prepare a place for you. Did he go?
Yes.
He did. Do you believe his promise then of what he said he did when he went?
Yes.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Everything that God has done for us is that one day we would be with him. No sin, no sorrow, no burdens of heart, none of that. As we are right now, we cannot look upon the face of God. No man can look upon the face of God and live. We're sinful beings. We're full of sin. We prove it. Jesus took care of all of that. All of it. So that someday we will be able to look upon the face of God.
Amen.
Because of the way he's going to change us. And because of what Jesus has done for us to make us righteous. and remove everything from us that would keep us from looking upon the face of God. That where I am, there you may be also. Brethren, that's paradise. To be with Jesus, that's paradise. I don't know where it is. I don't have to worry about that. I don't need a GPS to find that. He's going to come get us and take us. Doesn't matter where it is. That thief at his side, when they were hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." They were about to die. Paradise was going to be theirs. Don't you know that thief could close his eyes and die in peace? Though he was receiving the just reward of his deeds, he heard from the master. He's going to be in paradise today. Oh. "And where I am," he said, "there you may be also." You skip to the end of that chapter. I turned away too quickly. John 14. Verse 27 at least. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We do have troubles. We do have fears. But the prescription that we need at that time is to flee to Jesus, our refuge, our help, our provider, our sustainer, our God, our best friend, and much more.
Amen.
"Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's his promise. If we feel that, he's the solution to it. He's the answer. He's what we need in those times. He is that. In this life. In this life. Gotta move on. Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," don't go over that. That's pressing into the kingdom, by the way. "And all these things shall be added unto you." He'd been talking about food and raiment. Basic needs. Said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's a tremendous promise for this life. That's why Paul would say in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He's our help. He's our sustainer, our provider, our keeper. He's the one we need in all things. And because of that, Paul also said in Romans 8:37-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He is that, and nothing can separate us from that. What a promise. What promises. What exceeding great and precious promises. Because the tomb's empty. That's in life. How about very quickly in death? Do you know he's made us some promises about death itself? I've quoted several times John 14:19, because the second half of the verse, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And he's alive. He's alive. Revelation 1, what is it, verse 18? Says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. He's the judge. He's got the keys. But he's alive forevermore. I want to go to John chapter 11. You know, when Jesus was speaking with Martha and then Mary concerning Lazarus, who was dead, had been dead for 4 days, right? Okay. And when Jesus was telling Martha about these things, I can just, you know, in my mind, I could just imagine that Martha might have had the thought, I wish Lazarus had heard this before he died. John chapter 11. You probably already got it. Verse 21, Martha said, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What a charge. That might be part of what was in consideration when in Job, it says, In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. Lord, if you'd been here, we sent for you. If you'd have been here, but Martha goes on to say, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, yes, and she admits to knowing about the resurrection, and that helps. But when you're hurting, it doesn't take away all the pain. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Evidently, Jesus had been teaching about the resurrection. And she heard it. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. There is no resurrection apart from Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, like Lazarus, right then, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And in my way of thinking, this and ought to be in all caps. And whosoever liveth. All right, so he's talked about those like Lazarus who had died past the scene of this life. Then he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me. That gets us. Shall never die. Now that's truth. And that stands by itself. But then he asks the question. See, that truth remains. And it is true. And nothing's going to change that. But he asks the question, believest thou this? And that'll make all the difference in the world to you. Believest thou this? If you don't believe this, it doesn't matter if that's true. But if you believe it, he didn't say if you will believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Oh. Well, never. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, we see people pass the scene of this life all the time. To us, they died. Well, they left their body. And they left their body behind. There's something else that's left behind. Till the morning of the resurrection. Believest thou this? You see, when for the believer, for the child of God, for the children of the kingdom, when our eyes close in what we call death, we immediately behold the face of God. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Not in a holding tank, not in a halfway house, not in some that some people teach that you've got to pray them out of it, or are they going to be there for a certain amount? No, no. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no in between. There is no death. We don't see death. We have eternal life. That doesn't mean that it takes over when we leave, when we lose this life. No, we've got it already, and that doesn't change. And so we, our soul and spirit just changes its address. It's no longer here. It's in paradise. Just like the thief at Jesus' side. In paradise. What are we going to be doing? I don't know. The more I've tried to answer that, the less I think I know about it. I don't know. But that doesn't change the truth of the fact that we'll be there. And whatever he has for us, you know, he gave Adam and Eve a job in the Garden of Eden. Oh, no, preacher, don't tell me that. I don't want a job when I get to heaven. He gave Adam and Eve a job in the garden to dress and keep it. Some of you would love that a lot. It's not very appealing to me, but whatever it is, it'll be in service to the Lord. It'll be with a perfect body. It'll be with joy and the fullness of understanding what he's done for us and the eternity that we have to sing praises in thanksgiving to his name because of what he has done for us, which we have assurance because of the empty tomb. Those promises are full. He that believeth. Do you believe God? Can you embrace these wonderful truths? Is that your hope? That heaven's yours right now. And the kingdom is yours right now for us to enjoy. Jesus said, if I go away, I've already covered this a little bit, but there's something else I didn't say about it. If I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is the promise that teaches us the purpose of God. That we can be with him in glory. I don't have time to get into it, but in Revelation twice, in the message to the church at Ephesus, and then I think in the very last chapter, he speaks about the tree of life and having right. In message to the church at Ephesus, Revelation 2, he speaks about, blessed is he that overcometh, that he may have right to the tree of life. Do you know why that's so sweet? Because Adam lost that right when he sinned. And they were driven from the garden. And then those cherubim, with flaming swords were put there to keep the way to the tree of life. Do you know why? Do you know why God wouldn't allow them to eat of the tree of life after they sinned? He told us, lest they take of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. And what's understood is in that condition. That would have been the judgment. If we'd eaten of the tree of life then, we'd have lived forever in that condition. But because of an empty tomb, because of what Jesus did for us, we now have right. Because he was right. That message was to the church for them to start practicing right then. They had left their first love. He said, repent and do thy first works. Come back to God. Come back to serving him in sincerity and in truth and following him and enjoying the light of life. Him that overcometh. That condition of leaving your first love and coming back. Him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. One of those places that talks about the right. I won't take time to turn to it. But the tree of life for those. For us to enjoy now, because we'll enjoy it in all eternity. Because everything, every promise that God has made, and everything Jesus promised us, is absolute truth. And because the tomb is empty, those promises are full and rich. And we hold on to them. It was going to be true all along. I mean, it was truth when he said it. But bless your hearts, now we see that he did indeed have power over death. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Well, did he? Yes, he did. Well, that's true then. And the same with all the other promises. We have the assurance of its truth because the tomb is empty. May God help us to lay hold upon those promises, rejoice in those promises, and do what's necessary to press into that kingdom and enjoy the blessings that are available to us now while we wait for him to come again to take us home to be with him forever. May God bless you is our prayer.